For our scripture reading this morning, I would encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 14, and we are going to begin reading with verse 15. Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 15, it says, when one of those, so Jesus is at a banquet, and it says that, and when one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But Jesus said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go to see it. Please, excuse me. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet. Now, I don't know about you, but this time of year, around our place, the refrigerator begins to fill up with pictures of other people's children. It's one of those things. The last few weeks, it's been graduation announcements and that kind of thing, where invitations to open houses and to graduation parties and all those. The rest of the summer, of course, many of us will receive one or more invitations to weddings or cookouts or birthday parties or what have you. It's just a season for invitations. And it's always nice to receive a formal invitation, isn't it? I mean, something that aside from these special occasions, seems to be kind of fading in our culture. We don't often get formal invitations anymore. It means that you were remembered if you get an invitation, right? I mean, you're among the limited few. You're the chosen. Because you got an invitation, and you may walk into somebody else's house, and they see all of the pictures on their refrigerator. It's like, ha, didn't get that one. Of course, my problem is I'll go in and say, boy, nobody's inviting us to anything. Look at all these people. At any rate, that is not true. Don't go. But it is nice to know that you've been remembered, right? But there's something else about invitations that is important to remember, too, and that is that you're not obliged to attend, right? Just because you get an invitation doesn't mean you have to go, right? In most cases, it's not a requirement. Most people will accept a gracious, thank you, but I can't at this time kind of answer. Some might be disappointed. Some might be especially disappointed. But it is entirely in your hands as to what to do with an invitation. That being said, if you reject an invitation, then you might very well, you can't complain if you miss out on just about the most incredible wedding you've ever seen. I mean, and the guys are thinking, yeah. But at any rate, it is one of those things that you might miss out because if you say no to an invitation. Now, I think in many ways, this is something that many people misunderstand about God. Because people see God the way we hear it expressed. We see him as some kind of a harsh taskmaster, someone who demands, who expects compliance. That this is how he gets people to do things, is by demanding it, by being all powerful and big. But a careful reading of the scriptures reveals something very different. And today what I want to do is I want to take some time to go through some scriptures. Now, if you don't like reading on the screen, you may find that you'll have to be patient here because we're going to look at a lot of different scriptures today. Because I want you to see that vision of God as being this somehow compulsive, compelling God who forces you to do things by his power and might is quite different from the God of the Scriptures. The Scriptures reveal that God is an inviting God who prepares great opportunities for people to come and to participate in life with him. He's constantly, as the parable we just read, preparing this banquet. He's preparing everything and invites us to join him. Over the last few months, we've heard two very clear invitations in the passages of Scripture that we've been reading. You remember when we were talking about from the letters of Peter, where he said that we were invited to participate in the divine nature. That's a huge invitation. There were a list of things in which we can do that enable us to participate in the divine nature of God. It's not demanded, it's not all powerfully forced on us, but rather it is an invitation. Last week and the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how we are invited to participate in the joy of the Master. When we were talking about giving, when we were talking about service, when we were talking about entering into the mission of God, that we are invited to participate in the joy of God. Now, there are things that we do to step into that. But the banquet is provided. It's already happening, folks. Stephen and Haley, they're just stepping into what God is already doing. He's invited them to step in, to join him. We find that God is constantly inviting. Think of how often we hear Jesus inviting us to join him in the Gospels. It starts with invitations to individuals, people like his disciples, where Jesus, when he met them, he said, "Follow me." It's an invitation to follow. Or as we see in his invitation to Andrew, the brother of Peter, in John 1, verses 38 and 39, it says, Jesus turned and he saw them following. Now, there were two. It was Andrew and another disciple of John the Baptist. And they were recognizing that Jesus was something special, that this might be the person that John the Baptist was talking about. And so Jesus turned and he saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." Here's the invitation: come with me. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. An invitation. You want to know more about Jesus? Come with me. Okay? Or the rather unusual personal invitation that Peter received to join Jesus. You remember that one? He was invited to join him on the sea, right? Matthew 14, 28, 29. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Come. He didn't go to the boat and help him out of the boat and kind of hold him up on the water. He didn't do that, but he said, "Come." It's an invitation. Come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But Jesus, he invited more than just his disciples. There was a rich young ruler in Matthew 19, 21. Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go and sell what you possess and give to the poor." You'll remember that the rich young ruler, he had asked him, "What must I do to be saved? What else do I need to know? What else do I need to do? I've kept the commandments, I've kept the law, no problems." And Jesus responded, "If you would be perfect," he said, "go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then, here's the invitation, come, follow me. Follow me, that's where life will be found." Or the tax collector Zacchaeus, you remember him? sitting up in the tree watching for Jesus, listening to him. Here Jesus actually invited Zacchaeus to go to his own house to have dinner with him. It says in Luke 19:5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down and hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. I'm going to your place. You going to come with me?" It's an invitation. Inviting Zacchaeus to his own house. But then Jesus made invitations to groups of people too. Groups of people of all kind. I mean, Matthew 19:14, he invites children to his side. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them. For to such belong the kingdom of heaven. It says, and the scriptures tell us that they came to him and he picked them up and he touched them and he blessed them. Or in Matthew 11:28-30, he invites people who are weary and need rest to come to him. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to me. It's an invitation. It's also something he invited his disciples to enjoy. In Mark 6:31, in the middle of a day of heavy ministry, it says, "And he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while.'" You don't have to work all the time. In fact, remember, in the Old Testament, God invited his people. This is completely out of line with every other culture in the world. He invited his people to rest with him once a week, a full day, once a week. You don't have to stop working. It wasn't even just, if you have a little extra time. He said, "No, I want you to stop working. Totally quit working that day. Don't think about it. Spend time with me. Enjoy being resting in God's presence." In fact, Jesus often invites people to find refreshment and life in him. It's not at all unusual. Many times giving invitations to a great banquet, he uses that imagery frequently. Although in this passage, it's with a bit of a twist. In John 7:37-38, it says this. It says, now Jesus had gone to a large banquet. Well, I should say he's at a festival. It's a Feast of Booths, I believe, if I got that right. At any rate, on the last day of the feast, it says, verse 37, the great day. Everybody's there. Jesus stood up and cried out. So Jesus is in the middle of the temple area, and the crowds of people are there for this grand celebration, the great day of the feast. And Jesus stands up in front of all of them, and he says this, and you can imagine, it's hot, it's middle of, it's a hot, sunny, arid, deserty place. And he stands up and he says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." This isn't a command. This is an invitation. Are you thirsty for more? Do you long for something in life? Come to me. Take a deep drink of the cool waters of Christ. And out of your soul, out of your own soul, what will happen is, as you take in Christ, that flow, that refreshing water of God will flow out of you to others as well. John tells us, if you look on in the passage, that he's referencing the Holy Spirit there. That's a concept that is later reiterated in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. You don't earn it. It's an invitation. Come. In John chapter 6, verses 35 through 37, the imagery is not just about living water. In John 6, Jesus changes the imagery and talks about it as the bread of life. And as he speaks of the bread of life, he makes this startling invitation. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. All that the Father gives me will come, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out." Jesus said to them, verse 53, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Now there is an invitation. Disturbing imagery, to be sure. And in fact, the fact is, the scriptures tell us that many who were following Jesus left him that day, that very moment. That idea was just too much for them. That invitation was too much. What kind of a banquet is this to which Jesus was inviting them? I'll tell you what kind of banquet it was. It's a meal that even King David wrote about in the 23rd Psalm, where we read, "And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." In the middle of all of the commotion and in the middle of the trials of life, you prepare a table. You invite me to feast among my enemies, to feast on life. This is the same meal that Jesus himself had prepared in the presence of his enemies on the night he was betrayed. We read of it in Luke 22, and we celebrate it ourselves. We'll celebrate it in just a few moments. Luke 22, beginning with verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where would you have us prepare it?" Jesus said to them, "Behold, when you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished, prepared there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Right now, who is the host of this meal? Who is the host of this banquet? It is Jesus. He has prepared this. I know oftentimes we think, oh, somehow, you know, Jesus had this vision of this guy and this everything else. Okay, well, maybe we could go there, but how about he arranged it? Maybe he thought ahead. He knew the Passover was coming. He knew he wanted to do the Passover meal. In a little bit, he says he's really been looking forward to it for a long time. And so he set it up. He knows the guy who carries water inside the gate. He knows that that's the guy you need to talk to get over to that house. And then you go inside and say, the teacher wants, you know, where is it going to be? He says, oh, it's upstairs. Here, let me show you. You know, I mean, it's all arranged. Because this is not a serendipitous moment. This is Jesus planning ahead, saying, I am the host of this banquet. This is my banquet, and I'm going to host it. And so he sends his disciples to get it ready. The passage continues. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. It was all in the plan. He was the host of this meal. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And you say, wait a minute, the cup doesn't come first. No, remember, they're doing a Passover meal. There are four cups served at the Passover meal. This is the first one. And he goes through and he explains, and he's just simply saying, this is it, guys. There won't be another meal with me. Not until it's all finished. So he continues, he says, and he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The way in which you will eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. The way in which you will find life. A banquet that is completely and totally prepared for you. You're invited. We know these words because this is the banquet which we've all been in, you know, we've been participating in for so long. We've been invited by our inviting God to participate with him in this banquet. It's the banquet that Jesus spoke of in Luke chapter 13, verses 29 and 30, where he says to us, or I should say, where he says of us, and people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. It's the same banquet we read of earlier in the service. And friends, we are the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. We are the ones from the streets and the lanes of the city. We are from the highways and the hedges of the countryside. We were not the first guests chosen. They refused the invitation. Or at least we like to think we're these people. But here's the thing, invitations are invitations continually, right? Like I said earlier, the nature of an invitation is it leaves the initiative of response with the one invited. The host does all the work. The host sets the date, gets things ready, prepares the place and the meal, sends out the invitations. The host has done all these things. The banquet is ready. There is nothing the guests have to do. There is nothing they can bring to this banquet. You say to Jesus, is there anything I can bring? And he scoffs, he laughs. He said, what? No, there's nothing you can bring, believe me, nothing. You've got nothing that will add to this banquet. Just come. Whosoever will, just come. But in nearly every description of these invitations in the scriptures, we find those who are just too busy or too preoccupied to RSVP in the affirmative. In the parable we read earlier, there was a list of excuses that those who received the invitation used as reasons to decline. We used to sing about these excuses in an old youth group song that I discovered most of you didn't know. So I won't sing it. I'll just simply read the words. I cannot come. I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. I've married a wife. I've bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Please hold me excused. I cannot come. The Apostle John put it this way in John 1:1. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. His invitation was spurned, leaving the host of this great feast to declare in Luke chapter 13, verse 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and the ones and stones those who are sent to it, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. But you were not willing. The invitation was made. You said no. Friends, Jesus is the bread of life. In John 5, 39 to 40, there are those who are very, very religious who never figure it out. Jesus said to them, and you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. You search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. Friends, let me be clear. There is no life in these pages. Life is found in Jesus, of whom these pages talk. Jesus himself said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. You refuse to accept the invitation to the banquet of life. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the host, and he is also the meal of God. You ever wondered why in some traditions they hold up the bread and say it's the heavenly host? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong here. But I'm thinking it's because Jesus is both host and meal. He's the one who provides the way. He's done all the work. And it's only as we participate in the body and blood of Christ that we are given life. It's not in a physical sense like some ancient traditions have it. But rather it's in a sense where the bread is a symbol of life. And it gives life only by ingesting it. That Christ as the bread of life only becomes life to us as we ingest, as he becomes a part of the fabric of who we are, which he will do. He invites us. He desires to be one with us, even as the Father and the Son are one. We are not here to just, to take a sip or a taste of Jesus. This is, we get this idea that somehow or other our salvation is complete, that conversion is the goal. Just to get saved. Just to make sure, you know, stamp your ticket to heaven. You know, I mean, that's the whole thing. So we preach for conversion. Jesus doesn't want just conversion. That's the beginning of life. He wants to dwell within us. We're invited by God to taste and see that the Lord is good, that his love endures forever. We're invited to abide in him, to dwell in Christ, to allow him to make his dwelling in us. It's a lifelong relationship with the Holy One of God, that we might know him and be transformed to be like him by the indwelling of his Holy Spirit within us. Friends, it is not just taking a sip of juice and eating a little really cardboard-like wafer thing. That's the symbol of feasting on Christ day by day, moment by moment. The communion service is a representation of that reality, but let me tell you, it doesn't make it happen. It's a reflection of something that's already happened and is continually happening in each of us if we have responded to the invitation of Jesus. Stepping into Christ. How can this be? By grace. Purely by grace. God has prepared his banquet through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus. He is the perfect, spotless Lamb of God that takes away the sin of all who will participate in the banquet, who will accept his invitation, who will fall into the arms of his grace. John says, yet to all who receive him, to all those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. So before we come to the table this morning, I need to ask, have you come to the table in your heart? Have you received, have you accepted Christ's invitation of your life, to your life? To consume him, and in many ways, as we consume him, we are consumed by him. Have we made that choice? Or have we said yes? Or are you two making excuses, saying, I cannot come. Don't trouble me now. I'm busy. I've got other things going. Maybe someday I'll get back to this, but not now. I'm building a life here. I don't have time for religion or Jesus. Or are you still trying to figure it all out? This is an issue, folks. Are you still trying to figure it all out in your heads, trying to make sense of it? I get that. I'm a very commonsensical kind of guy. I like to make sense of things. But I know that sometimes as I try to figure out if I'm going to go to something, so I get an invitation and I say, oh man, do I want to go? And I start thinking about it, I start looking at my calendar, I start trying to figure out this, that, or the other thing. And you know what happens? If I try and figure it all out ahead of time, what eventually happens is that, well, the decision is made for me. The event passes. I'm still trying to figure it out and I find out, oh, that was yesterday? Rats. I kind of wanted to go to that. But I never got it all figured out. Sometimes I decide by not deciding. The day that many disciples left Jesus, they left because of this very thing. They couldn't figure it out. But listen to what was said by the ones who stayed. But Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. I've mentioned before, these guys didn't understand what Jesus said here any more than the other disciples, the ones that left. They didn't understand it. I mean, this was pretty freaky to them, too. You eat your flesh, drink your blood. But their answer is, I don't understand it, but where else am I going to go? You're God. If it's not you, then it's no one. They knew who Jesus was, and that was enough. They chose faith. And they accepted the invitation to the banquet by faith, even though they didn't understand the whole thing. Friends, invitations don't last forever. Eventually, opportunities are lost. This is not a threat. This is reality. This is the reality of your lives every day. You get an invitation, you have to respond by a certain time, or it's over. You miss it. Today, the invitation still stands. Come to the table. And I don't mean just this one. You may not understand it completely. That's okay. This is a God thing. None of us understand it completely. And if you think you do, I'm sorry, but you don't. This is a God thing. This is beyond our comprehension. That's why it's called faith. But when we receive Christ, the working of the sacrifice of his body and his blood in us seals us with a guarantee. Here's the thing. For those of you who you struggle with, you know, I don't know. There is a deposit. Not my words. That's what Paul calls it. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He appointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit." Also, that word can be translated a down payment, guaranteeing what is to come. In other words, when we receive Christ, when we respond to his invitation and step into his banquet, by his grace, he gives us a down payment on life with him for all eternity. How do we know we have life in Christ? Because he places his Holy Spirit within us. It is the down payment. It is the first taste of heaven. So when we don't understand or our faith begins to waver, look to the Spirit in your life as proof. You need proof. It's right there. It's a guarantee. He is there. He is here. He is working. So continue to walk with Jesus. So now I invite you to come to the table. We will once again step into the great kingdom banquet hall and celebrate the feast of God. But before we reenact what has already happened in, I hope, most of your lives, I need to make sure that you understand that it is just a reenactment of what is already happening, has already happened in your life if you have responded to the invitation of Christ. Come, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest for your soul. Say, how do I come? I want you to just, where you are, you stop and you talk to him. The invitation is there. He's calling to you. If you're sitting here thinking about it, then guess what? The Spirit of God is at work in you, and he's calling to you. He's inviting you. Come. Just come. Set aside the distractions. Set aside your need to understand it all. Just come, and it will all become clear. Ask him to enter your heart. Ask him to take and cleanse you and set you free. That's the invitation. And it is yours in Jesus. The banquet's already. He's done all the work. Pray together. Father in heaven, it may well be that everyone in the room already knows you, that everyone in the room has responded to the invitation by saying, yes, Lord, I'm coming. But honestly, that has not been the experience of our lives, that when we gather together, that everyone has said yes, everyone is saying, oh yeah, I'm looking forward to this banquet. I pray today, Father, that if there is one or more who are here today and have never said yes to your invitation, that they would turn to you right now and quietly before you speak to you. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to come to your banquet. Apply the body and blood of Jesus to me. Set me free. Cleanse me of everything that gets in the way. Sin, brokenness, distraction. All the crap in my life. And let me know Jesus. And I will walk with you wherever you lead me. In Jesus' name.